effective in delivering vital services? How can we promote greater equity and opportunities both within our Bureau and without? And how do we work better with all of our partners, including the county and metro, state and federal, to better meet our goals? To select our first commission members, we held an open recruitment that frankly yielded an amazing pool of candidates. This was not an easy decision. Together, Margaret and I selected a very diverse group of individuals with ties to many different areas of city life and a broad range of expertise in such areas as home ownership, ending homelessness, affordable housing, finance and development, and many other skill sets. We have representation from the business community and the neighborhood system. We have people who are familiar with urban renewal advisory committees, the needs of immigrant refugee communities, the needs of communities of color, and on and on. It's really a tremendous group of people, and a number of them are here today, and we'll hear from them. But first, I want to introduce Margaret. Margaret, it feels like we've already spent some time together here at Council today. Welcome back, and it's your show.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Mayor Adams and Commissioners, I'm glad to see you again. I'll be brief. You've seen enough of me today. But this is an important moment also in the kind of evolution of PHB. I think in addition to what Commissioner Fish said, what I would underscore is that this is a single table where we can have the broad range of housing conversations. And under the old system, which certainly served the city well for many years, we had one set of folks helping us advise on expenditures of federal funds. We had a different group that served as the Budget Advisory Committee and focused almost exclusively on city general funds. And then a third set of stakeholders inside the Urban Renewal Advisory Committee system. And so what we didn't have was sort of the crosswalk of how do those pieces all fit together. So our hope is that this is the table where we knit those things together and that this group of people asks us the hard questions, helps hold us accountable for kind of really taking PHB to the next level and housing investments generally to the next level. So I'm again delighted to be here. I'm going to ask each of them to just do a very brief self-introduction, and then we'll move from there. I also want to acknowledge that Beth Kay is our fabulous staff person who has runs a lot of our public involvement work for the Bureau. She's been a long-term city employee and has staffed the HCDC for many years. So she's helping make this a smooth transition on our end. So
we're going to invite people up four at a time?
I think since there's three chairs, I say three. How about
three
that?
At a time?
Okay.
You want to?
Come on, three of you. There you go.
Welcome. Deborah, why don't we start with you? If everyone will say name, affiliation, something about what you do and why you agreed to join the commission. Deborah?
You're virtually dressed the same.
It's part of the
PHAC uniform.
Sorry, John.
Yeah. Part of the culture.
They all say Portland Housing Advisory Committee. Commission on the back.
Commission. Yeah.
Deborah MC, Executive Director for Metro Multifamily Housing Association, and I want to say what an honor it is to be part of this commission and to serve with the kind of folks that I'll be serving with. 35 to 37% of housing in the city of Portland is rental housing, and some of it affordable, much of it managed by my members. Since the mission statement of our organization is to promote quality rental housing, I see that mission very much in line with both the purpose, the vision, and the strategy for the Housing Bureau.
And Deborah, thank you for serving on the Section 8 task force, which looked at this question of bumping up the success rate for voucher holders from what was a low of 75% now to well over 90%. And you and some of the other industry representatives were really key participants in that process.
You're welcome. I was happy to do so.
Mayor Adams, members of council, I'm Mark Jolin. I'm the executive director at JOIN. And it's really an incredible honor to be able to serve on this commission. I'm really excited by the broad charge that we have, the range of things that we're going to get to talk about as a group. And there are just some fantastic folks on this commission. Some I know well already. Others I'm really looking forward to getting to know. I've spent the last 5 years in my role at JOIN participating very actively on the Coordinating Committee to End Homelessness and on a variety of initiatives that are aimed at trying to address how we best deliver services as a community to people who are living on our streets. So I'm looking forward to bringing that experience and perspective to the group. And thank you again.
Thanks, Mark. Ray?
Mayor Adams, commissioners, it's always a privilege to be with you. And I'm Ray Espana. I direct community development at the Native American Youth and Family Center. I recently celebrated my 20th anniversary up in Portland, and I've had an opportunity to kind of work in the community on a number of issues, from homelessness redesign, the shelter reconfiguration, all that kind of work, to my work with the county, and now my tenure with NEA. And I couldn't, I really want to thank Commissioner Fish and Margaret for the opportunity to sit with really great people who I've gotten to know. And I think I view the issues that concern the Native community as well as other communities of color at a point that it's really transformative. It's a time for us to address many issues across this community. So it's just an honor to contribute whatever I can to that effort.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Andrew, why don't you kick us off?
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, commissioners. I'm Andrew Colas. I'm the president of Colas Construction Incorporated. We're a local general contractor. I'm also a member of the National Association of Minority Contractors, the Association of General Contractors, OAMI, and several other organizations. And what I feel that I'm bringing to the table is a diverse knowledge base of really promoting diversity within the construction industry. And one of the things I'm really excited about in this particular commission and in this committee that I'm with, and I'd like to really commend Commissioner Fish and Margaret Van Fleet and the rest of her staff on really having a very diverse group of people on this commission. I'm really excited, not only diverse in the ethnicity, but diverse in the knowledge bases that I've seen everybody brings to the table. So I'm extremely excited about working with this group of people for the next 3 years, and we're really looking forward to help promote diversity and help promote the housing. And thank you very much.
We should also acknowledge that your dad is here and that your sister serves on a body, a city body. Doesn't have the prestige of this commission.
No.
But she's doing her part as well.
So. Yes, and we're very proud, and we'll continue to do good work for the city. Thank you very much.
Thank
so
you're
going to have to call each other commissioner. And at family gatherings, it's...
My father's a commissioner. I'm in Gresham, so I was the only one left out in the family, and they were giving me a hard time for a while there. So
might be some rule against
finally,
that, so.
You know, I get to sit at the dinner table with the rest of them. So thank you all for allowing me to, spend time.
I wanted
with
to have some parity.
Yeah, thank you very much.
At the table. All right. Tracy.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Tracy Manning, I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Central City Concern. And perhaps relatedly for this commission, chair the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Advisory Committee, which is one thing I bring to the table. But I think I particularly want to thank you and Commissioner Fish for this opportunity. I think at a moment of incredible stress for us publicly in trying to meet the needs of the citizens of Portland, we also have this really incredible moment of opportunity, I think, given the commitment of this that this council has shown to people who are in need of housing in our community, and as well as the Multnomah County Commission, Housing Authority Metro. It feels like it's a little Pollyannish to say, but this moment of great stress is really also a moment of great opportunity. And I'm particularly excited that this coming together from the Portland Development Commission, City of Portland, and the great relationships with Multnomah County, something that I'm particularly interested in working on is really leveraging all that interest into something above and beyond for Portland. So thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate
Tracy,
it.
Tracy, let me just acknowledge that Central City Concern has had a hell of a year, and whether it was the opening of the Madrona in the Rose Quarter or getting the stimulus grant that allowed you to move forward on the new health clinic at the old Burger King site downtown. I mean, and in between, it's you and Ed have done a marvelous job. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. My name is Christine Lau. I work for the Asian Health and Service Center, And under the direction of Dr. Eric Seder, we've been trying to serve the Asian community in the last 27 years in the city of Portland. And all I want to say is thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to able to participate at this wonderful commission and able to participate at the different issues. And I just, I remember the very first time I arrived at the city of Portland, I just so amazed at the beautiful of this city because I never see a city with roses on the street before I came here. And I came from Asia. So, with the passion, with, kind of amazed at all these things, I just realized after serving with Asian communities, with the mental health population, with the senior population, and now we discuss about the social equity injustice or how to pass out the resources to make sure everybody benefit from all the things we have. We know we don't have enough resources for everyone, but it's important for us to able to communicate with everyone and able to distribute for those needed population. And so I just want to say, really, really thank you for able to participate. And I think this means a lot, not just for me personally, but also for the community, people of color that I serve, or the agency that we serve. So thank you.
Thank you all very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Jesse and Mark, and who's left? I start with Mark, but actually after seeing Mark, how many now organizations you play a leadership role in? I think the least we could do is actually get you an office at City Hall. But welcome.
Thank you. My name is Mark White. I'm president of the Palo Hurst Gilbert Neighborhood Association. I think what I'd like to say is that between October 2006 and March 2009, my neighborhood grew by 612 households. It's 5.75% in 29 months. And that combined with the fact that 80% of our kids in the six schools in our neighborhood qualify for free or reduced lunch makes housing and everything that's related to it incredibly important for our neighborhood. And I think it's exemplified most clearly by Ron Russell Middle School, which has 85% kids qualifying for free or reduced lunch, and that's 753 children in one school. So for me to be a part of this is truly, truly an honor, and I'm very, very grateful to be a part of it. So thank you.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon. My name is Jesse Beeson. I'm the executive director of Proud Ground, and with the tremendous support from the Portland Housing Bureau, we help low-income families buy their first home, and we keep those homes affordable across generations. It's such an honor to be asked to be at this table. I know that every day I'm working to help low-income families, and in particular families of color, build assets. But I think what we've been asked to do is really take off our singular hats that we might wear and really think about the broad issue of housing in our community. So I'm very excited to wear a different hat and perhaps wear the hats of some others as we wrestle through some of the difficult issues around providing housing to every single Portlander. Thank you.
And Jesse, you know that I love to ask you this question when we see each other in these kind of settings because your answer is truly remarkable. And that is, how many of the homes that you've placed people in since the inception of your organization have ever gone into foreclosure?
Zero.
Quite a remarkable thing in this climate. So thank you very much.
Great work. Thank you.
And there's more. Let me just quickly tell you the couple of other folks who could not make it today. First is Carter McNichol. He's a private developer with the firm of Shields, Oblitz & Johnson. He's been active in real estate development in Portland for many years. We also are going to be joined by Carmen Rubio, who many of you know. She's currently the executive director of the Latino Network. We have Toby Washington, who is a retired banker and real estate lender. Most recently was president of Homestead Capital. And finally,
Toby began his career working as an aide to former Mayor John Lindsay.
So there's that.
He's been working his way up the food chain.
There we go. And then finally is Brian Wilson, who's an executive with CalBear Company. He's been a member of the Bureau's Budget Advisory Committee for several years, but he's also a member of the Portland Business Alliance. So I think you can understand why I'm just delighted to have this caliber of folks come and help shape the Bureau, help make the hard decisions, and help me be accountable, but help, I think, the whole city really put its best foot forward in thinking about where we go with housing next in this community. So that's the lineup. And with your concurrence, we'll put them straight to work.
Thank you, Margaret.
Does anyone wish to testify on item number 1642?
Danielle is signaling me on something.
Danielle wants to testify.
Is there something we have to do?
We have to testify, sorry.
Do we have to amend something?
We have to amend something.
What do you want us to do? Okay. Okay.
Folks have that.
So, Mayor, I would move Exhibit A, Amendment to Exhibit A.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. And what is the amendment?
It adds the language to include homelessness as a focus area in the PHAC mission statement.
Great. Any discussion of the amendment beyond that? Sue, can you please call the vote on the amendment?
Scrivener's error.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Can you please call the vote on, unless there is someone that wishes to testify, can you please call the vote on the amended item number 1642?
Leonard.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, and all your staff. This is excellent work. Aye.
Fritz.
This is a wonderful commission, and congratulations and well done, Commissioner Fish. It is indeed an honor to serve on one of the city's boards and commissions. It's also a lot of work, and I greatly appreciate your willingness to step up and do that on behalf of the citizens. You truly are part of the riches of our city. Aye.
Sorry, Fish.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank everyone who's agreed to serve. You know, I attended my first PHAC informal meeting the other day, and I was struck at how thoughtful the discussion was and what a high level. And what we've been able to assemble through this process is a group of very smart, very committed, very diverse, and very independent thinking people. And this is not going to be a rubber stamp group. I've already observed people asking fundamental questions, tough questions, pushing back. And I think it's going to be a different kind of process for us. I think in the past, frankly, particularly in the housing world, we've often sought the company of the amen chorus. And what we're going to get is some tough questions about priorities and where we put our money and outcomes and how we structure our operations with budget challenges going forward. So I could not be prouder of this lineup and more grateful for people's willingness to serve and help us get it right. I think Margaret's off to a tremendous start, but I think the people who've agreed to serve on this commission will take us to the next level. So heartfelt thank you to everybody, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
I also just want to thank you all for your willingness to serve our city and look forward to your recommendations and robust discussions. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Good, important, tough issues to tackle. Aye. Congratulations, commissioners.
They get sworn. Margaret, is there swearing in? Are we done? Or
he wants to swear them in, too.
We're just going to swear them in.
Where?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry, you're not commissioners. Commissioners-elect.
There's a ceremony to follow?
I believe that's the case.
And can you please call, unless someone wishes to testify, can you please read the title for 1643?
Confirm the inaugural appointments to the Portland Housing Advisory Commission.
Please call the vote.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
You're now official.
Now you can. We won't be offended if you want to leave. It's okay. If you have other things to do. What's the item we're doing now?
1631.
Sue, can you please read the title for 1631? Resolution.
Appoint members to the 2011 Charter Commission. Convene commission and request specific study and instruction and actions.
Did you figure out a chair? Who is it? Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, and thank you, colleagues. This has been a very interesting process, and I have greatly appreciated your collaboration in it. First, I'd like to move the substitute Exhibit A, which has a different ordering of the proposed commissioners.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Sue, would anyone wish to testify on the motion to to amend. Sue, can you please call the vote on the motion to amend?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
Thank you. So this resolution appoints members to the 2011 Charter Commission. It convenes the commissions and requests specific study and actions. The reason we're doing this is because the voters in 2007 passed Measure 2698, which became effective on January 1st, 2009, and states that the council shall convene a Charter Review Commission no later than 2 years after the effective date, which is January 1st of 2011. So the voters said that we were going to have this Charter Commission, so that's what we're doing. The Charter Commission is then to be convened at least every 10 years thereafter. The part of the reason for doing, for the voters putting that in place was that there was a suggestion or a request to voters in the last Charter Review to change the form of government. And it was felt that if we did change the form of government, there might need to be a quick check-in to make sure that if there were any technical glitches or unintended consequences, that there was a way to correct those, and also to continue the good conversations that were started under Mayor Potter. In the meantime, the recession hit. In the meantime, we are doing the Portland Plan, which is expected to take at least one more year. And the bureaus have been taking significant budget cuts for the last 2 years. $600,000 was apportioned for the previous Charter Review, which would be a very difficult sum for the council to find at this time. And yet that kind of money is needed for a significant public outreach process, which is part of Charter Review, is that all of our citizens discuss our charter, which is our city's constitution. So faced with both the charter requirement that we will fulfill by this resolution and with the realities, the council is requesting a two-part charter review process. And I say requesting because once the Charter Commission is convened, it gets to do whatever it wants. But we did not, as Commissioner Fish had said, that they did a broad public outreach to solicit applications for this, for his commission. Unlike any other process I've ever wanted to be involved in, we didn't do that in this process. And it's very unlike me, so I want to explain why we chose to go this particular route. The charter requires that the Charter Commission shall be reflective of the city in terms of its racial and ethnic diversity, age, and geography, that it shall be comprised of 20 residents of the city, and that each member of the council shall nominate 4 Charter Commission members who will be subject to confirmation by the council. I volunteered, and Mayor Adams appointed me earlier this year, to figure out how to appoint this Charter Commission, and quickly realized that you can't ask two of those questions on application forms, and that we wanted to do this two-part process. What we're proposing is a 6-month process, which we're asking this Charter Commission to serve for, to do 3 things, and then a follow-up second Charter Commission, which by voting with this resolution, each member of the council commits to forming a second Charter Commission to do a broader public outreach and more thorough discussion after conclusion of the Portland Plan. Because we believe that the Portland Plan should inform the charter changes rather than the charter changes trying to get ahead of the Portland Plan. I've been very impressed with the Portland Plan process and with the amount of outreach and education that's been going on as part of that. We're doing a very thoughtful discussion about who we are now and who we want to be, and those results should inform the next real charter commission. So we're asking this charter commission to serve for 6 months, as I mentioned, and asking them to do 3 main things. First, to prepare a list of housekeeping amendments, which I define as minor issues, mostly removing offensive and outdated language from the charter that's been there for 150 years and no longer applies in 2011, without making changes with greater policy implication that would need to be discussed with a greater length. Secondly, advising the council on how to set up an inclusive citywide process to appoint the second charter commission, recognizing the standards for diversity in the charter, and yet still allowing the 5 council members to each appoint 4 members. So that's a second charge, is to ask how the advice of this commission on how to do that. We will also ask our coalition partners, our diverse civic leadership partners, all of our community stakeholders, and indeed individuals in the community, give us your best advice on how to do that so that when we come to form the second commission, we'll have a robust public process and be able to select another fine panel of 20 members to serve on that commission. And the third charge of this commission is to prepare a list of issues which this commission considered as minor policy issues or major policy issues, and put off until the second more robust charter commission process, so that anything that has even minor policy implications, I would request and the council requests that those items be put on a list so that we know we haven't forgotten them, and then that they go to the second charter review process. We all do commit to appointing a second charter commission, and which will be informed by an extensive citywide public process and discussion, and the members of the 2011 commission are neither more nor less likely to be appointed to the second commission than other Portlanders. And it will be, selection will be guided by the advice of the 2011 Charter Commission, the Public Involvement Advisory Committee, and multiple community stakeholders. And I will, or in my absence, another assigned council member will coordinate this process to ensure the appointment to the second Charter Commission. And we will consider measures in the 2011-12 budget to ensure ongoing adequate funding for the Charter Commission, both this time, this go through, and every 10 years. The resolution before us today commits a maximum of $20,000 to this current charter process. I do have an intern in my office, and with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, the Office of the City Attorney, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and others will help staff this commission. So there will probably be a bump request or an adjustment request coming for this particular charter commission. We also need to figure out ongoing how are we going to make sure that at least every 10 years we have enough money to do broad public outreach and public process. The 2011 charter commissioners were appointed four by each member of the council. Mayor Adams appointed Jeff Bissonette, David Martinez, Leilani Ovalis, and Shelley Romero. Commissioner Leonard appointed Jan Campbell, Sue Disciple, Patricia Knoll, and Mark White. Commissioner Saltzman, Justin Delaney, Henry Hank Miggins, Ayub Ramjan, and Tricia Tillman. Commissioner Fish, Cassie Cohen, Ann Collins, Steve Weiss, and Anita Yap. And I appointed Steve Abel, Brian Heron, Rebecca Kirk, and Bonnie McKnight. And to the best of my knowledge and ability, these commissioners do represent the diversity of our city in age, geography, and race and ethnicity. I'm very pleased with this group of 20. The council is asking in our resolution that Mark White, who's remained with us, and thank you again for your service, and Anita Yap serve as co-chairs of this commission. Again, we recognize that the commission gets to set its own rules of procedure and could alter that, but that is our recommendation for how to start off the process.
Commissioner, I have just one question, since this is the first charter review process that I think I will participate in as a member of council. The one thing I'm not clear about is what our role is in terms of shaping the issues for consideration of the subsequent commission and the role of this body. And I'll just give you an example. Let's say that this particular body decides that they believe the form of government should be reconsidered. And let's say, despite Mark's best efforts, the consensus on the committee is we should replace the commission-style form of government with a monarchy. To what extent does that automatically go to a new charter review commission as a matter for consideration, and to what extent does the council shape the list of issues which are considered?
The council always only makes requests to the commission. The commission gets to decide what it wants to do. If 15 of the 20 commissioners decide that they want to refer this to the ballot in May to change to a monarchy, they get to do that without our input. If there are other things that they want to put on the ballot before, either in May or November, which is what I've asked, or whenever, if the majority of the commission can bring that to council, and then council decides whether to refer it. Am I correct in that? Close enough? I've been dreaming about charter review for the last 6 months or so.
So I'm clear, our ultimate check, if you will, on making sure this is a constructive exercise and not one that maybe goes too far afield is through the appointment process.
Indeed so. And I did explain pretty much in the same language. That's why it kind of came out pretty quickly, because I made it all 20 phone calls. I actually made about 23 phone calls. And I have to say I was very impressed. We selected our members from the members of existing boards and commissions, thinking that these folks already know something about the city government, the way it's structured. They're busy people. They're pragmatic people. And if you want to get something done in an efficient manner, what I have learned over the years is ask a busy person and it gets done more quickly than might otherwise be the case. So I did explain to each of the commissioners what we were asking them to do, and each of them voiced their understanding of that. A couple did ask the same question, Commissioner Fish, and so it will be up to the commission to, I hope, honor the two-part process which we're setting in place. Because we don't have the funding for a thorough outreach process, we will, of course, set up a website. We will have public meetings and opportunities for input from citizens, but we don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to do an extensive outreach process. So it will be up to the commissioners to decide that.
Thank you.
So my expectation, actually, is that that will be on the list fairly quickly. That's something that, teenage daughter is at college answering.
Is Commissioner Leonard sending you a text message again?
I was wondering about that. But,
Randy, I thought we talked about that.
I'm working on it.
Well, discipline.
What was your question again with Commissioner Fish?
So I'm satisfied with your answer.
Anyway, Commissioner.
So, I want to make sure. So, recommendations from the commission go straight to the ballot. They don't come to the city council anymore.
If 15 of the 20 vote in support of sending something to the ballot, that I would hope that we would have a public hearing before council, as indeed what happened in the previous process, so that it's a way to publicize what the commission has done. We will have a report to council, and they will then specify which of the issues that they want to go to the ballot have the support of the required supermajority, and which ones they would like us to consider. What I'm hoping for is that this commission will come up with a list of amendments that everybody will look at and nod and say, yes, absolutely, there is no reason that Commissioner Fritz happens to be called the Commissioner of Public Utilities in this day and age, and wouldn't it be more simple if Commissioner Leonard could get all those questions directly to him rather than forwarding questions about the Water Bureau in the middle of the night, because we don't no longer assign our commissioner responsibilities by the title of our position.
By the way, I will strongly object to that change if it comes forward, because having run a few times, I remember that it was one of the most successful pop quizzes by Willamette Week to cause embarrassment to people running for council, was to see if they actually knew what the name of the title of the position they're running for was. And I hate to see that opportunity lost.
Well, in that case, you should voice your concerns to the commission, and if there's any kind of controversy, I'm hoping that if there's any kind of policy implication, however slight, that they will pass it to the next commission. I would normally, if I had not been elected, thanks to the graces of the citizens of Portland, I would have been the first to be raising my hand and clamoring to be on this commission. I just don't think it's the right time to be asking our citizens to multitask right now. But I have been surprised and amused and felt a kindred spirit with many folks that I've mentioned this to, and like mine would have done their eyes light up and they start delving into Section 22.4 and could we please change that particular word to this particular word. And so I think it's an interesting task that the commissioners have ahead of them, and I'm very confident that we have selected a broad, diverse group of folks who are committed to the public purpose which we're asking you to serve.
So is there any additional council discussion? I would just add that there have been two ballot measures on changing the form of government, and they both went down by 75-25. And I like the profile of the, and I like the purpose of the commission as Commissioner Fritz has outlined it, because I do think that there's a lot of technical craziness in the charter, but I also know that the voters have spoken very clearly on major changes recently. Anyone wish to testify on this matter? All right, Sue, would you please call the vote?
Leonard.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for putting this together, and thank you, Mark, for agreeing to serve. Aye.
Well, again, thank you to each of my colleagues whose support for both for the process and for getting the appointments done was outstanding and really a joy to coordinate. I didn't ask the commissioners to come today. When I was seeing the Housing Commission telling their stories, I was a little chagrined that I hadn't done that, because there are 20 wonderful people here. We will very shortly get a website up with some paragraphs, self-written paragraphs about each of the commissioners. And another note is that as we move forward, and hopefully this commission will identify the issues in a efficient manner within 6 months. The Portland plan will still be going on, and so for those folks who are interested in talking about the form of government or some of the other more technical issues, there's no need to wait until the next Charter Commission, that those conversations can start happening as part of the Portland plan, as part of the neighborhood involvement system. And I think that this will give us a more robust system and a more opportunities for everybody to be involved in making charter changes rather than less. And so thank you again. Thank you, Mayor, for the honor of coordinating this process. I truly appreciate it. Aye.
Fish.
Well, Commissioner Fritz acknowledged this is an atypical process for her, but I will never forget the time we were given a list of possible names the size of a phone book and told to take our time but to have an answer by 9 p.m. And that's how you keep people's feet to the fire. This is a great group of people. I appreciate, Amanda, your passion for this process and the way you've managed it. And I also appreciate the explanation of what steps lie ahead. Thank you for your leadership on this. Aye.
Salzman.
Well, thanks, Commissioner Fritz, and thank you to Mark White and other members of the Charter Commission. Thank you for your service. It's a lot of work, and we look forward to your recommendations. Aye.
Adams.
Great direction, excellent way to set it up, and thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Aye. All right, we get back to the last item, and that was item... Where is that? 1607. Ms. Merlot, welcome back.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners. Earlier this morning, you heard two items from us. The first was a resolution to accept the fiscal year 2010 natural hazard risk reduction strategy. And Commissioner Fritz had raised a couple of questions and some changes that she requested that we make, which we did. You should have the amended resolution in front of you. Oh, it's being passed out right now. What I'd like to do is to just quickly go over what those amendments are and make sure that you're okay with them and that they meet your need. The first one is to specifically call out that we are going to be adding a new chapter to the natural hazard risk reduction strategy, and that chapter will include an outline and a formal process of how we're going to implement our public involvement and community outreach. And we've attached Exhibit C, which specifically addresses the amendments that Commissioner Fritz requested, specifically to add the Office of Human Relations, Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and the Cable Communications and Franchise Management Office into several action items.
I think there was another one to add the Office of Healthy Working Rivers, but we can add that later.
I'm sorry, Commissioner. If we miss one, we'll be happy to add that.
Yeah.
The second item in front of you...
It says work with all bureaus. So.
Okay, good.
You're set, I think.
Okay. The second item in front of you is an amendment to the ordinance that you heard this morning that would approve a request for application to Oregon Emergency Management in the amount of $26,667 to conduct that public outreach process. And per Commissioner Fritz's request, we have amended that ordinance to include that a statement that we will work specifically with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the Office of Human Relations as part of that planning process.
You want us to adopt this amended resolution?
Could I speak to it first?
I think they're going to go right through, but yes.
This doesn't address the second one, the ordinance about the letter of commitment, doesn't address the core problem, and that is that Exhibit A that is referenced in Exhibit B of this letter of commitment calls for the neighborhood coalitions to do things which we haven't asked them whether they're willing to do or not.
Commissioner, we're not requiring, directing the neighborhood coalitions to do anything.
So could we strike in Exhibit B, could we strike the reference to Exhibit A?
I'm sorry, where are you specifically?
I no longer have that in front of me, but in the this ordinance, so does it no longer reference Exhibit B?
The ordinance does not have an Exhibit B. The resolution has an Exhibit B.
C, Exhibit C.
And, well, originally.
So we
need something a little stronger.
So what has been has the application for the grant already been submitted?
No, not yet. No.
So there'll be a different letter of commitment that doesn't reference either, that doesn't reference Exhibit A, which talked about what exactly we're going to do with
no,
the grant.
No, yeah, no, Commissioner. There is no. We haven't sent in the application, so we can certainly amend any letter of commitment that will be part of that application process to Oregon Emergency Management.
Your concern is that the neighborhood coalitions have been signed up to do something?
Yeah, and they're independent nonprofits. We can't ask them if they're – we can't, in a grant application to the state or the federal government, commit them to do something which we haven't asked them to do.
Okay.
So
yeah, but just to reiterate, we're not directing, asking them to do anything. We're just saying that we're going to work with them as part of our public involvement process. There's no ask of them.
And the...
Or task, I should say.
The previous task was that they would help come up with a map and that they would do action items.
If they chose to.
The attachment B that you are referring to for the ordinance that is to authorize the signing of the letter of commitment to apply for the grant, it states that the letter of commitment is only that we will, as a city, commit to 25% of the grant given to us. And that's the commitment, that we will pay in kind or however 25% of the total cost.
To do what?
We're required to provide a match contribution for the grant. So it would be assistance with the public involvement process.
They're actually, since this is referenced in this ordinance you just gave, attachment B was referenced. Attachment B referenced Exhibit A. So I agree that if we're just sending in a letter saying that we're going to do a 25% match from somewhere in city volunteer and staff time, that's fine.
Right.
If it references the specifics in Exhibit A, that's a problem.
I don't know. This attachment A is an idea that we are proposing. We don't know if we're going to get this at all for this project. We have to have a letter of commitment saying that we will provide 25% match. Then we are working out the scope of work of how that funding will be actually spent. It is for public involvement process related to the risk reduction strategy. It is I have proposed these items, but it has not been confirmed. There is no obligation. This is a letter of commitment that the city will take responsibility for matching at 25% level.
So the legislative intent is to use this proposed concept for the purposes of federal government decision-making, but they don't view it as word for word. They view it as the idea, but not word for word.
It's our certification that we will provide a 25% cash or in-kind contribution.
So I think it would be helpful to strike the reference to Exhibit A in that letter, Exhibit B, because otherwise, if I'm a grantor, I'm expecting to get the deliverables as part of the grant write-up.
But that we haven't gotten the grant yet.
So
we'll make the changes. I'm still not sure I see where you're referencing, but we will take care of it, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. And then secondly, new item 6, the proposed $26,666 will be POEMS contribution. I think it should be part of POEMS contribution because obviously your staff are going to be working to a lot greater extent than would be required for just that. So I move that we would amend that to the proposed $26,667 will be part of POEMS contribution.
We'll be happy to accept
that as a friendly amendment.
Thank
you.
The POEMS contribution to, the meaning of that is that this is the public involvement process is a collaborative process of all city bureaus, that we're trying to get all city bureaus to work together for a safer city. And so we're trying to find out what actions are all the bureaus doing in the different areas of town that not only maybe pull weeds, but also protect or create a safer city. And we're trying to find out through this process how we can combine our efforts.
Right.
So when you say that, yes, we cannot do a public involvement process for $26,000, I agree. But POEM will offer up $26,000 worth of work on a combined effort of all city bureaus. So say we go out with the Water Bureau, the Fire Bureau, and Office of Neighborhoods, and we go out and we talk to the public about what is it that they could do? How do they want to work together? Or how can we all work together with what we're doing currently, with what, how we operate? How can we refine our ability? And so that's what, it's a contribution.
I'm just saying it's only part of your contribution. You're going to be doing a lot more staff work other than this grant.
Yeah. Commissioner, we will take care of it.
Okay.
So did you move your amendments?
She accepted it as a friendly amendment.
Did you move the underlying amendments, and did we vote for it?
No, we haven't moved that yet.
There's been no vote yet, Mayor.
Okay. I you move the substitute amended.
You move all the amendments?
All the amendments.
Both. Oh. We have to do them separately? Okay. So I heard Commissioner Fish move the amendments for the ordinance. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Does anyone wish to testify? Can you please call the vote?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Amendment is approved. Is there a motion to move the...
Linda wants to testify.
Linda, do you want to testify? We're just amending right now.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Amendment to the resolution. Does anyone wish to testify on the amendment to the resolution? Sue, would you please call the vote on the motion to amend the resolution?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. The amendments will serve as the basis for further consideration. Has anyone signed up to testify on either the ordinance or the resolution? Linda Bauer, please come forward. Thank you. Welcome back.
Thank you, thank you.
You just need to give us your first and last name and tell us if you're here representing any organization.
Linda Bauer, citizen. The clerk is passing around a paper, and it has on it a pink line right here. This pink line is an outfall to Johnson Creek. and in the Water Bureau staff's words, they may be outfalling, a Missoula flood-type event to that outfall. Another staff equates it as equivalent to a 1,000-year event that they might be outfalling to this outfall right here. And as far as I know, there are absolutely no plans to let anybody living along the pink line know that that flood is coming.
Can I ask a couple of clarifying questions, and we'll give you more time since we haven't started your time clock anyway. when you say a Missoula...
That's the Water Bureau staff person's analogy.
Missoula in reference to what?
An ancient flood that happened eons ago.
No, I know that, but are they referring to it to a possible risk of a hazard like that happening in the future?
Yes.
Okay, and why would that happen?
If there was an emergency overflow.
Okay. An emergency overflow of Powell Butte? Okay. And your concern is that that be given some attention as part of the risk mitigation process that we've been talking about, and that part of that include notification of potentially impacted property owners?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. Anyone else wish to testify? Really, I want to drag this out as long as I can.
Well, you're doing an excellent job.
Hey, I had help. Sue, would you please call the vote on, let's go for the ordinance.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Linda's testimony is an example of why I'm concerned about the public outreach for this plan, that when this goes to the neighborhoods, there's going to be multiple citizens who are concerned about the particular hazards in their area, and they're going to want to amend the plan. So I think beyond the
modest request from the grant, we are going to have to grapple with how are we going to do the public involvement for this plan, which it's a little disappointing that it wasn't done as part of the plan, because that's a really great time to get people energized and help form the plan rather than just commenting on the plan. I really appreciate the commitments of the POEM staff to make sure that as we move forward that neighbors are fully engaged and that all communities in Portland are fully engaged, because I think our citizens are perhaps our most treasured and valuable natural resources. And for the citizens to be involved in emergency management and disaster planning is absolutely crucial. So I appreciate the amendments. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Councilman.
Aye.
Adams.
I'd like to thank Commissioner Fritz for helping to polish and clarify this ordinance. Aye. Approved. Can you please call the vote on the amendment? Amended resolution.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
And I look forward to hearing from David Schaff what he meant when he said Missoula-like flood. Aye. We are adjourned for the week. And happy holidays, everybody.